Right. Hello, everyone. We are live, and tonight we are talking to T. Krulos. And T. has a couple of books that we will probably be talking about. One of them is called American Madness, and the other is Wisconsin Legends and Lore. How are you doing today, T.?
I'm great. Thanks for having me here.
Hey, thanks for showing up. Now, actually, before we start, I have one little thing I want to throw out. Told my daughter to jump on because I was going to do this. Today happens to be my granddaughter's second birthday. So I was going to give a shout out to my granddaughter, Lily. She's a beautiful little girl. She's 2 years old today. And she sports a name that is the same name as my mother, who unfortunately passed away in 2017. And my daughter was excited when she found out she was going to have a girl so she could name her after her grandmother.
Cool.
So, all right. Now that I got that out of the way. Okay, T, I'm going to ask you a question, and it's pretty much the same question I ask everybody that we have on the show because it kind of opens things up for people to kind of get to know you a little bit, especially if they don't know where to go to find any information on you. What got you interested and started in your line of work or line of field here in the paranormal?
Well, you know, I think it really goes back to when I was a kid. I used to love shows like Unsolved Mysteries. And other shows like that. And, I was a very avid reader when I was young. So, I went to the library every week and I tried to find every book that I could about UFOs and Bigfoot and ghosts. And I loved, mystery and adventure stories as well. So, I kind of grew up on that. Then, in 2013, I started working on what was my second nonfiction book, which is titled Monster Hunters. And it's just because I was really curious about these people that I would see on reality TV shows. And I was like, I wonder what these paranormal investigators are all about and if they're actually like they are portrayed on TV or if they're different. So I pitched that to my publisher at the time. And they said that it sounded good. And so I started getting to work and I sort of had a wish list of people that I wanted to meet. Like I wanted to find out whoever the grandmaster of cryptozoology was. And I determined that to be Lauren Coleman, who has the International Cryptozoology Museum out in Maine. So, I went out there and visited him and spent the day in his museum and interviewed him. And then I wanted to find a local ghost investigation team that I could meet up with over and over again. And I met the Paranormal Investigators of Milwaukee, which I know you've had Christopher on the show before.
Christopher and Gravy.
Actually, right. That was Friday.
Noah and Gravy.
Noah and Gravy, and that's right, Christopher Kai House was part of that group as well.
Yeah. I just kind of approached them and they agreed to let me tag along and I ended up going on maybe about a dozen investigations with them. And I just, met a bunch of different people and put together this book. And when the book was coming out in 2015, I was like, what would be a good book release event would be to do sort of a mini paranormal conference. Because I know all these people in the Wisconsin area, and I'm sure that they would love to have a chance to present what they do. So we put together the first Milwaukee Paranormal Conference in 2015, and it was great. It was really fun. It was really interesting. It had really good attendance, and the presentations were wonderful. So we started doing it every year. This year, of course, has been a weird year, not weird in the good paranormal way.
This year has been extremely strange.
Yes. So we did the conference as a virtual event, and it turned out to be pretty good, I thought, you know?
Oh, it was really good. I enjoyed every minute of it. I think I only missed one of the talks. And was that 3 days or 2 days?
It was 3 days on Friday.
Yeah, so then I missed Friday.
Yeah, we did a couple things on Friday as sort of a you know, pre-party type thing.
And you had Mike Huberty was the like MC for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did a great job too.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I saw that. And then I think the thing I was waiting for the most was the Return to Wildcat Mountain presentation and watching that for the first time anywheres.
Yeah, it was very cool that we were able to screen that for people. And like we were talking about before we went live, it was cool because there's people from all over the world that were able to tune in that might not have heard of any of the people talking even, but it was an opportunity to sort of show off some free content. And hopefully we'll be back next year in person in some capacity and people can see us then.
Yeah, hopefully by next year we'll be able to get back out to some form of normalcy.
Yeah, you never know. I don't know.
I am so anticipating one of the sites that we have that I worked my butt off to get us into to do an investigation. It's one of the buildings on campus here in Madison, and it's we would be the first team to ever get in there.
So, which building is it? Can you say?
I kind of want to still keep it a secret.
I understand, totally.
We'll tell you behind closed doors after we're off the air.
Okay. Hang around for a little after we're off the air, and I'll tell you where we're going.
Okay, sounds good.
But anyway, your book, American Madness.
Yeah.
Without giving any sweet details away, can you give us any information or any idea of what that's about?
Sure. I've been working on this book for a long time, and it's about a man that I met in 2010 named Richard McCaslin. And he's what you would call a conspiracy theorist. And he contacted me and he told me that he had actually been arrested in 2002 because he had raided a secret society place called the Bohemian Grove, which is in Northern California in the Redwood Forest. And I was like, what? What is this guy talking about? So I started, you know, talking to him and researching this place, the Bohemian Grove, and just became very fascinated by the whole story because it's a really weird secret society. And so over the years, I worked on this book on and off, and then I started tying it into other people I had met and other ideas people were telling me about conspiracy theory. And I think it's ended up being a very topical book because this year there's been sort of a tidal wave of misinformation and conspiracy theories, and it's really just spiraled out of control. So I think this book is a really good primer for people. You can sort of read about how we slowly got to this point through the story of this person that I met. So that just came out in late August, and I've been talking a lot about it, and I'm getting a really good reception for the book so far. I think people are understanding what I'm trying to present and giving me good feedback. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess what you're referring to is one of the conspiracy theories here is our wonderful Anon.
Oh, QAnon, yeah.
Or QAnon, yeah, that's it, right. QAnon. Yeah. Oh, my God. That is absolute. You know, it makes you wonder how anybody can be that insane.
Yeah.
Well, some of those conspiracy theories can be dangerous
because
of the misinformation.
Well, because you got people out there that are susceptible to different things like that. And
I mean, they're not as fun as...
through with stupid crap.
Yeah, well, they're not as fun as like the conspiracy theories that surround, say, like Area 51 or something.
Right, you know? Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I have to agree with you on that.
That's really what my book is about, is how it can be dangerous, because this person I talk about, Richard, you know, he took these very seriously, and he raided this Bohemian Grove place with a bunch of weapons. He was wearing his own superhero persona costume, the Phantom Patriot. This is actually the cover of my book. That's a picture of him, you know, in his like costume with his weapons.
Yep, like the poster you got behind you.
Yes, right. I see it behind me a little bit. And it's like you're saying, QAnon people are dangerous.
Crazy.
Just this last couple of weeks, I'm sure everyone's heard about this plot by this Michigan militia.
Yeah.
To kidnap the governor.
And they just let the guy in Wisconsin, they let him out on bail.
On bail, yeah. But, you know, looking at those guys' social media, those guys were into QAnon, and they were posting other conspiracy stuff about the pandemic and all that. So, you know, it really kind of pushes people over the edge.
Well, I'm a science person. I'd rather listen to the doctors, you know, like Fauci and stuff like that, the experts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and you got Fauci, who's an expert in that kind of stuff. You know.
Well, yeah, Fauci is an expert in the.
Yeah, so I believe in the science behind it.
Part of it, and he's been with three other administrations, I believe. I think he started with the Clinton administration and went through Bush and then Obama, and now.
Yeah,
administration, and they're trying to discredit him now, and it's like, what the hell is wrong with people?
It's like people would rather take the word of like someone on YouTube or something over like the scientific.
We had a friend on that. I had a friend of mine that I've known for a very long time as well, not so long ago, just to help her get the word out because
she
was one of the first persons that I know. That actually got hit pretty hard by it, where she lost her taste and her sense of smell all of that. And we had her on so she could pass her story out. She was doing a Facebook blog, and I said, hey, look, come on, and I'll help you get it out even further, you know.
Yeah, get it out as far as we can.
Because, you know, science saved my life. Because if it wasn't for the research they did at St. Jude's Hospital, which everybody knows that hospital,
Yeah,
I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. Okay. Yeah. When I got leukemia on December 4th, 1995, it was so far gone that it actually literally flatlined me 5 times.
Wow.
And they had to use those paddles on me. But I tell you, I was sore for a long time after that. But the point is, they had to use, at the time, it was kind of experimental treatment. It was called plasmapheresis. They hooked me up to this great big loud machine in my room, drained my blood out, cleaned all the white blood cells out of it, because that's what was dangerous. It was extremely high. And then they put it all back in with saline. You know, and at the time, that was fairly new treatment for cancer patients.
Sure, yeah.
When they were that far gone, they said, well, if you can survive that, then we can do the chemo and radiation.
Wow.
And go from there. Yeah. And I had to go through a bone marrow transplant to boot. So, yeah, it was pretty rough.
Right. And it was thanks to science, you know.
But it was all thanks to science, exactly. Yeah. And new kind of experimental type treatments. They don't guarantee that things are going to work. But, you know, in that case, there was a good chance because it came from a reputable place. You know, St. Jude's has been around since Danny Thomas founded the place way back in God knows when it was. You know, before I was born.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the other disturbing conspiracy thing going on right now is people saying that the pandemic is a hoax or stuff like that. And of course, that's dangerous to everybody because if you believe the pandemic's a hoax, then you're not going to be socially distancing or wearing a mask or stuff like that.
No.
So, you know, it's
I'm socially distancing by staying indoors as much as possible. I get that. I'll be in ICU. So
you get that, you'll be 6 feet under.
No, I'm a vampire. I'm going to live forever.
I'm serious.
That,
unfortunately,
you know?
To say that with him as immune compromised he is, any bit of the COVID hits him, I
I fear. I doubt it. Because
no, I don't doubt
I've been through more shit than you can, but we won't argue with that. But anyway, let's talk about your other book.
What's your other book?
Monsters.
Wisconsin Legends and Lore.
Legends and Lore. Explored Wisconsin's pretty good then, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Being from here.
Yeah, this is it's a nice little book, and I talk about a lot of well-known ghost lore from around the state. Monster sightings. I talk about urban legends, which is one of my favorites. And I talk about a lot of classic, like Native American legends and lumberjack lore that we've had throughout our rich history here.
Boy, we're gonna learn a lot tonight.
Yeah. Have you found a lot about the American Native or Indian legends of the Wendigo?
Yes, I do mention that in the book. I wrote a little bit about it. I was also, I think you probably saw us during the conference. I was really excited to see Chad Lewis.
To get him on here, but yeah.
It was a good book.
Trying to get him in here.
Trying to pin him down is like,
he's a very busy dude.
Yeah.
I've met him once, at the Racine Library when I was watching one of his, before the COVID thing hit, I went and met him, got his autograph on some of his books.
Cool. Yeah, I know that he's typically really busy during October, so doing a lot of library appearances and stuff like that.
So
I didn't write as in depth as he did, but I did write a little bit about it. It's always a creepy one.
So what's some of the urban legends in Wisconsin that you really like? Because I'm not too familiar with some of those. I don't think.
Well, I think one of the earliest ones I knew about, this was when I was in my very early 20s, I think. Someone asked me if I'd ever heard of Haunchyville. I was like, wait, what's Haunchyville? So, the story that they told me was that you drive down the end of this road in Muskego. I'm pretty sure it's Muskego. Yeah. And then you're going to... you'll find that there's like this secret community where there's little houses and there's like angry little people that live there. And if you drive onto their property, they're going to try to attack you. And some of the stories, they talk about how they have an albino bodyguard that has a shotgun that's going to shoot you if you step onto their property. So me and my friends drove out there, of course, and looked around and didn't really find anything. But I found that a lot of small towns in Wisconsin have some sort of story about a creepy old country lane. When I was up in Stevens Point, me and my friend Valerie, who has the Stevens Point Paranormal Club, she got to show me Boy Scout Lane, which is this road on the outskirts of town where supposedly
that was also in one of those
A psycho killer killed a troop of Boy Scouts or burned them alive or something like that. So a lot of towns have some like weird, creepy old road that has some wild story about it. But I love hearing those stories, because I think it's part of like the culture and part of the DNA of the town.
Tom's on.
Oh, hey, Tom. I know Tom.
Yeah, I saw you on Off the Rails.
Yes, Off the Rails.
We've been on there a few times ourselves too. Here. We investigated Tom and Molly's house as a private investigation earlier this year.
Okay.
That was pretty cool.
That was earlier in the year.
Cool. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
So they just bought a house earlier this year.
Last October. Actually, I think this month is a year for them being in that house.
I'm sure he'll correct me if he's still listening, but they were on their way to their studio.
anyway. I think that a lot of the old towns and stuff do have those types of legends and stuff, and I think some of it was possibly put together. This is my theory on it. This is possibly put together to try and keep the kids in line.
Sure.
Well, but there is one that I know is pretty famous in Wisconsin, proven a hoax, and it was all put together to promote tourism.
Which one?
The Hodag.
Right, yeah, yes. Yeah, sure.
Rylander.
Right in the cover of my book here, right in the corner.
Yep, there he is.
The Hodag. Yeah. Yeah, I love that story. And you're right, it was a hoax. His name was Eugene Shepherd, and he was sort of Rhinelander's prankster. And he made this cart, you know, he took wood and old cow hides and stuff and put together this, you know, sculpture. And then he took a picture of it, and he was like, oh, look at this thing that I saw in the woods. And people fell for it for a while, you know. They thought
for it was a long time.
Quite a while.
Yeah. And then eventually he was like, okay. The reason that he stopped the hoax was because the Smithsonian Institute was going to send some scientists up the Rhinelander to take a look at the thing.
All right, gig's up.
Yeah, right. So then he was like, okay, actually, this was a hoax. But it's become like the mascot of the town. So you've got the big statue there, and the local high school football team is the Hodags. And, you know, they have a Hodag Country Music Festival there.
Oh, yeah, they took it and ran with it.
Yeah, yeah. There's even a store now there, too. A store that just sells Hodag souvenirs. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I always loved that story just, because when I was a kid, actually, my parents, took me up north. My great grandma had a cottage up in Minocqua. So we'd sometimes drive around northern Wisconsin, and they took me to Rhinelander just so I could see, you know, they have this replica statue in a lumberjack museum in Rhinelander. So they took me there just so I could see the Hodag and get a Hodag t-shirt. So I have sort of a fond childhood memory of it, you know?
Yeah, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, you were saying also about, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you said something about lumberjack stories too?
Yeah. You know, well, one the most famous one, of course, is Paul Bunyan, which... there's a couple of states that claim that they are the originators of Paul Bunyan stories, but it looks like Wisconsin has the best claim that they came out of the North Woods here.
So you did the research into all of this.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And you found Wisconsin was the best claim for that.
Yeah. And yeah. They probably have the earliest.
You know, Minnesota or Michigan does it too. Is claiming it. Because that's why you have Michigan and Wisconsin when they go into the Big Ten football rival, they're fighting for Paul Bunyan's axe.
Ah, okay. His axe? I didn't know that. I didn't know this part of the story. I knew that there was rivalry between, you know, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan over the story.
Then that's what it is. It's a trophy that was put together to look like a giant axe. And that's what they're when they play the game, you know, play the
against
each other. That's what they're after is Paul Bunyan's axe.
Well,
I'm not much of a sports fan, so I wouldn't know.
I always thought Wisconsin was the
story for that because, you know, I spent a lot of my childhood up in the Dells, and there was that great big huge. You know, Paul Bunyan statue with blue right next to him up there.
Yeah, the Dells, pancake
right
house.
On the main. Yeah, at the pancake house. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry we interrupt you.
That was like one of those roadside attractions.
Yeah. Yeah. The Dells is great. I love the Dells. So, yeah, Paul Bunyan, of course, is a famous story. And then there's a lot of stories about him and especially, you know, like strange creatures that the lumberjacks would say existed. And what I thought was funny was a lot of these stories, they would do it as sort of a hazing for like new people that would show up to the lumberjack thing. They would talk about some monster in the woods so that this person would lay awake all night, like completely freaked out. And then they would let them know that it was just like some folklore that they had made up to scare people. And then there's other sort of similar characters to Paul Bunyan of like, you know, kind of tough characters like him that helped lumberjack or move logs down the river. There were just kind of stories that were told around these camps to each other.
Well, it makes a lot of sense considering that, you know, Wisconsin's like got the Mississippi River running pretty much right next to it, you know, or whatever, you know. So, and then you got, what was it, over by Milwaukee and in that area, there was a lot of lumbering towns.
Yeah, yeah, all throughout the state.
That area, like right around the Grafton area, back in the, when I looked at my history, it was all a big lumbering community right there in a mill.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Grafton. Tom's asking something about every town having a goat.
I don't think every town has a goat, man, but that is another urban legend from here in Wisconsin. Out in Washington County, there's this country road called Hogsback Road, and there's this urban legend about a goat man that lurks around there. Actually, a guy named J. Nathan Couch wrote a really good book. He lives here in Wisconsin too, and he wrote a book called Goat Man, Flesh or Folklore. And so the urban legend is, you know, there was this couple and like their car broke down and the guy had to walk back to town and he doesn't come back. And this woman is very afraid. And then she discovers he's been killed by a half goat, half man creature. That's still supposed to be lurking around this back road. So it's a really fun, kind of weird urban legend here.
So basically,
that one's kind of hard to swallow.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, the last time I saw something like that was on Saturday Night Live, the right. Goat Boy.
Yeah.
Mike yeah. Brewer.
Yeah.
Or Jim Brewer.
Jim Brewer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, have you ever heard like the urban legend about Hook Man? It's supposed to be this guy that has a hook for a hand, and
that,
then
he's kind of like Candyman stretched across right. The entire United States.
Yes, right. So I've always thought this was kind of like a weird Wisconsin version of like the Hook Man urban legend.
Could have been.
They just like gave him a goat head instead of a hook hand, you know?
Hey, it could have been. Could have been. Darn. Now, is there any like urban legends of I've heard of this. I can't remember if it was in Wisconsin or a different state, but something about spots on the land where grass doesn't grow or crops won't grow, and they claim it's almost a circular pattern. They claim that that's where the devil has danced. You ever hear that?
I haven't heard that one. I heard something about
Jackie.
A bar that had like some sort of like hoof prints. Wendy, actually Mike Huberty's podcast co-host Wendy was telling me a story, I think. There was hoof prints in this old abandoned bar that were supposedly from the devil. So it sounds something close to that, you know. I haven't heard anything about dead grass, but could be out there.
The hoof prints, were they on like a wooden floor?
No, I think it was in the concrete or something. So good to spend like an animal print that developed a story of its own.
That's possible, I guess. Yeah. So you're kind of into all the stuff like we are then, with the paranormal spectrum. So you're into the cryptids, you're into the ghosts, you're into the aliens. Do aliens exist? Do you think aliens exist?
I do. So people ask me if I've had any encounters myself. So I'll tell you one that I had was I was working on Monster Hunters. And for a chapter, I wanted to write a chapter about Bigfoot. So I was introduced to this really cool guy in Michigan, Jim Sherman. He's part of the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. And he said, yeah, come out to Central Michigan because I got a spot on this farm that this couple owns, and they're reporting all sorts of weird stuff. So I went out there and it was very interesting. He you know, told me all about Bigfooting and we walked around in the woods and stuff, but nothing much happened. But the last night we were there, we saw this like UFO. I've never seen anything like it. It was like a ball of light and it was hovering in the sky, and then it would zip over across the sky and hover there. And was moving very erratically. This was late at night, you know. We're out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm not saying that I saw the UFO mothership or whatever, extraterrestrials. But I have no idea what that was. And I don't know of any explanation that is satisfying for
it. Well, it's a UFO. It's unexplained.
Right, yeah. It was a very unique experience.
You know, I've actually, in my youth, I've actually experienced several. When I was 8 years old, my mom and I watched one fly over our house.
Wow.
It moved extremely slow. It was a square ship. It had five lights on it. And my dad had a 50-foot radio antenna on top of the house at the time, and it totally cleared it, never touched it.
Wow.
We watched it. She seen it coming in from across the west, from the west coming in, headed towards the east, and we watched it come in, fly over top the house, and then we went through the house and into the front, onto the front steps, and watched it just keep going out of sight. And it moved really, really slow, made no noise.
This is in California?
Yep, this was in California. Right through the center of the San Joaquin Valley.
Yeah.
So, and then when I got moved out here, I worked for waste management for a while, and one of my routes took me out by the other side of Johnson Creek out here, and out kind of in the boondocks off of, actually it was between Johnson Creek and Lake Mills off of, was that 89 or 86, the highway there. There's one of the side roads that takes you up over to G. I was on that 5 o'clock in the morning, just right around the time you could barely see the sun starting to light the top of the horizon. And I seen this light in the field, and I'm driving towards it, and there was a slight breeze blowing, and it was blowing from behind me. And the closer I get to this light, the closer it's getting to me. And I'm like, that's kind of weird, because this thing, it never deviated. It never sped up, never slowed down. I went and stopped the truck, dead stop, and got out and actually watched. And it was a triangular shape ship. And it was I'd say it was probably about 50, 60 yards or so off of the, I think it was about 60 yards or so off of the road over the field, and it was about 500-600 feet in the air. And it just moved really, really slow.
Wow.
And at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, you still, you had the darkness of it, but
and that was before drones.
Yeah, and that was way before drones. That was when cell phones were first becoming small like this instead of the brick phones. So that was way before drones were even made. And it was weird, because you could see the outline of it because of the illumination of the sun coming, you know, starting to illuminate the horizon. But it was just, there was no noise. Not a single freaking noise. And it was moving against the breeze, which was really strange for me. But
wow.
Those are some of my experiences.
You know, since you started doing this, do you find it hard to watch some of those TV shows?
The reality shows?
Yeah, the ones that are based on paranormal, Bigfoot.
Like you know, Ghost Hunters or the guys that do the Bigfoot hunting or
In Search of Bigfoot.
The newest one right now, the Ghost Adventurers.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy watching some of those as entertainment, but you know, I've known that the reality TV shows pull a lot of bullshit. You know, I've known that for a while.
Want to make sure I'm not the only one thinking that way.
No, they do.
Here's that of almost everybody, by the way.
Yes. No, I would be very skeptical about those shows, because they need to, you know, ghost investigation can be incredibly dull. So, and yes, that's not going to sell your TV show. So you've got to, like, come up with some sensational thing.
Yeah, we had a guest that said, well, it's like spending the night in a cemetery and you're sitting there talking to yourself in the dark.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, which is not going to grab you some primetime ratings, you know?
Right, right.
So they've got to make it more exciting. And to do that, they're awfully going to distort the truth and stuff like that.
Yeah, and right. I think that's bad for the ones that don't want to distort the truth and want to actually show what's really possibly out there. You know, I mean, I get a kick. I guess my favorite one I get a kick out of is because it kind of makes me laugh is the one with Matt Moneymaker and Bobo and all of them. They're like in search of Bigfoot.
Yeah, that's the Bigfoot guys.
And it's like, how the hell do you know what a Bigfoot eats? I mean, did you actually take him out to dinner once and watch?
Yeah, I mentioned that in Monster Hunters. I talk about how on one of the shows, he talks about Bigfoot having the ability to like bioluminescent activate its eyes. Like he just said, like it was sort of a fact that people knew, and I was like, how do you know this fact?
And everybody they interview, oh, you've seen a Squatch. That was definitely a Squatch.
Right, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, now you take that into consideration. They don't even take, you don't hear them take into consideration too much of what could possibly be around in the area sometimes when they're interviewing these people. And then we went down to Bray Road, and we all know what Bray Road is. If you don't, it's the beast of Bray Road. It's like a dog man. Well, I've got several theories about Bray Road, and we've only been there twice. We plan to do an overnight again sometime in the near future
that
on
is
this
an
farm.
Open invitation.
And we want to do is we want to document. We went down there and we discovered a lot more than we were expecting. Okay, when we were talking to this guy and looking at pictures and it kind of blew some of the theories out of the water, like, okay. And then it made some of the theories, okay, that's more possibilities. I don't want to get into too much. We haven't released any of the footage or the pictures that we've gotten from there.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, because we want to wait until we do the overnight.
No. We can get more pictures from him, but we have enough of footage that we took that we could probably put an hour-long documentary together
or more. Yeah, because we were down there just talking to this gentleman for about 8 hours on his farm one day, and then he invited us to stay the night. Problem was we weren't properly prepared like a good Boy Scout.
We didn't
and have
actually
a tent
know
in the
what
back.
Was going to happen.
You know,
we weren't even expecting him to say, hey, you want to stay the night and do an investigation now? You know, it's like we'd love to, but we don't have anything with us to do it.
Now, you've been down Bray Road, haven't you?
Yeah.
Now, at night, like anybody, I say this all the time when I talk about this, at night, there's no street lights. Very few lights from the house are going to illuminate that road. And it's a little over a mile, maybe 2 miles long. I can easily see how somebody's mind can play tricks with them.
Oh,
if they
sure.
see it for a coyote eating a deer, you know.
Yeah.
And we've got both in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I've seen pictures of hybrids. And what's to say somebody didn't have a hybrid and let it get out and start breeding with those wolves. And now you've got a bigger wolf, almost like a dire wolf. And that's what people are seeing. I mean, these are just possibilities that go through my head.
Yeah. The other thing too is I've seen some pictures of animals with mange.
Oh yeah.
And they look so weird. So imagine like you have a wolf or something that has like a case of mange.
Oh yeah, that
sitting
would
at
that
the
would
side
really
of a road, and you're like cruising by, and you're only seeing this under the moonlight. I imagine that would look really frightening.
Well, it'd be like that. It'd be like that wolf in that old haunted house thing that was on that one street in the Dells.
Right.
And they had that great big wolf type statue that lit up and smoked. You know, that was kind of like what one looked like that was all manged or rabbit or something, you know.
Yeah. So
how much of Bray Road have you ever studied or got into?
Not a lot. When I wrote Monster Hunters, I wrote a chapter about Linda Godfrey.
I've heard of her.
Yeah, the chapter.
I haven't got her on our show yet either.
Oh, I'm sure she'd love to do it sometime. She's very nice. So I went out to Elkhorn and I interviewed her, and then I took a drive down Bray Road. So I wrote this chapter about her called the Accidental Werewolf Chronicler. And so a lot of my information about Bray Road is from her writing and my interview with her. And then just I saw Steph Breedlove's documentary, the Bray Road Beast, which came out just a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So that was it. I haven't personally talked to like eyewitnesses or done much of an investigation other than, you know, taking a cruise down the road just so I could see it for myself.
Well, okay.
Well. But I'm interested. I'm very interested in what you guys are coming up with.
Here, I'll show you something if I can get to it, but I got another question for you.
Bring it up.
Yeah, I got to get to that folder.
Is it a picture of the Beast of Bray Road walking down the street?
I'm not sure what this is.
Oh, okay.
I have them too on my computer, Joe.
Well, then you find them if you can find them faster.
It's very simple for me.
And now my train derailed. And now my train derailed because I had another question for him.
So, how about we go again to a different setup while I'm doing this? What do you know about, and I just seen a thing earlier on this, what do you know about the Black Knight satellite?
The Black Knight satellite?
Yep. That would be under the UFO part of it.
I know nothing about it. It sounds very interesting.
You haven't.
It sounds like something from conspiracy lore, like the black helicopters or something.
Well, allegedly, this thing is a satellite that has been in a lunar, or not a lunar, but a polar orbit of the Earth for ever since like the 1800s.
Oh, no, I have no idea. This is very interesting.
I'm surprised you haven't heard of it.
I mean, this is the great thing is there's so much stuff out there that I'm always learning about new paranormal stuff, always learning about new conspiracy theories and stuff like that.
Desktop. Well, I'm ahead of you.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's on my desktop.
Okay, I see a picture here.
Yeah, he's got him up.
This was taken with a trail cam.
Okay.
On Bray Road.
Wow.
Okay, now I'm trying to get to the right. Oh, I can't do that when it's zoomed in.
Okay. Yeah, you can't move it to different ones when it's zoomed in.
Right.
That's interesting.
He had it set up so it almost looks like they move.
Huh.
Yeah, but the thing is, now I'm getting ticked.
Because you can't find yours.
I can't find mine because my stupid computer did a update a couple of days ago.
There's the other one.
And it rearranged all my icons on my desktop.
Uh-huh.
And I think this it took some of them out and I don't know where they went.
That was taken by a trail cam too.
Oh,
we had the gentleman that lives there. He's probably taller than me, and I stand about 6 foot, and he's about 6'2". I think he was, maybe. He was taller than me. Anyway, we had him go out there and stand while we stood by where this trail cam, the trail cam is that took this picture.
Yeah.
And it's pretty large in comparison, you know, to what you think it might be. So, I mean, it looks like something's sitting there.
Yeah. Wow.
But he wouldn't send us all the pictures. Some of them he just, you know, because they want.
Well, there are some of the pictures he is not going to come off of.
Right.
And I don't blame him. He let us see it, but I don't blame him.
Oh, okay. Because they're the good stuff?
Very much so.
Oh, all right.
Oh, and here's that one.
Let's see. Maybe I'll find it here.
This was taken.
Oh, I think I found it. Yep.
This was taken at 8:56 in the morning.
Okay.
Now, where'd it go? Right there.
This was the same trail cam?
No, this was a he's got no. This was a different
trail
cam.
He's got five
cam.
Different trail camps.
Was the
he's
same got, property?
It's the same property. He's it's 35 acres of hay farm. He goes up there to
it's
to
a 35 acre
the hay.
Land. He's got 32 acres of hay.
And then
hay
he stores it there, and he transports it to feed his horses.
Hmm. Yeah.
So. Whoa, that's weird.
But the weirdest one. I'm hoping I can find it.
Hang on, Joe.
Did I pass it?
Joe.
What? Did you find it?
I found them. Which ones do you want up?
I wanted to find the one that looked like a dragon. Oh, there it is. Never mind. I just found
okay,
it.
Okay, you found that one. We're not sure what that
looks like. Wow. Yeah, that's really
now,
weird.
We're not sure what this is.
Not sure what it actually looks like.
It's something out of Game of Thrones, for sure.
Really? Yeah.
You know what it actually looks like to me?
But these were all taken off trail cams on that property that have been in the same spots for years. He just goes in, changes the batteries, and changes the cards.
When you zoom in like that, what it actually looks like to me, have you ever heard of the Incan flying snake?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it, I think. Or what you're talking
about.
That
looks like.
Huh.
But, yeah, which ones did you want up there, Joe?
I got them. That's it. I got them.
Did you show him the shadows?
No, I didn't find those.
I got those right here handy if you want them.
It's up to you. All I know is, look, Bray Road definitely deserves another trip out there or more.
Yeah,
you know, so, especially on that property, and we've got open invites as long as Mother Nature doesn't screw us, because you can get stuck on this property if you're not careful, and you don't want to walk at all.
Yeah.
So he had a couple of ATVs. My wife had fun driving the one with them, and then we followed in his car, but we had to make sure Mother Nature, and we weren't going to get stuck out there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. This is the one. Okay, yeah, I was looking at it, and I was trying to figure out why. Now I remember why. Okay, go for it. Do your magic.
Now, this is from the same trail cam. This one's, I believe, from the same day. See, down here you got the 21st September of 2015. Mm-hmm. This one was taken at 3:32 in the afternoon. You got your 70 degrees out. Think this is the lunar cycle that it shows.
And that's humidity.
And this is a humidity or barometric pressure.
Anyway, humidity. Yeah.
Obviously, it had been raining at some point because the field is flooded here.
Yeah.
Now, this is the same day.
Oh.
This is at 3:39 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Not sure what this is.
Yeah.
But as you can see here, it looks like you can see through this. And I'm not sure what he actually called this. I call it like a shadow.
Yeah.
But is there anything on this picture without me blowing it up right now that you see that looks other besides the shadow, it looks a little out of ordinary?
I'd maybe see something in the sky back there.
Let's bring it in.
You would be right.
Oh, one, weird.
Two, three, four, five.
Yeah.
It's a dark one down there. There's a dark one down here.
Down here.
Okay.
You got, these are all white in color with like a red looking or a dark center.
Yeah.
And this one's blue with a blue center. Weird.
Yeah. This is like a UFO dropping off the Beast of Bray Road.
There is something going on there for sure.
That's the first one, or the second one. Now, again, at 3:39, this is like seconds Now this the way he's Hold got on. These cameras.
I got a question before I forget my train derails, Mark.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you have any of the pictures of the bones and the carcasses?
No.
Damn.
I didn't get those, and that's what I was trying to tell you, to get a hold of him and get some of them if we can. So the way his cameras are set up, they snap sequence pictures. They snap three pictures in a row. So in the amount of time it took for each picture to snap, you notice that this shadow thing, my mouse is getting a little screwy. You notice the shadow thing has moved more into the picture.
Yeah.
And up here, we go from five objects in the sky down to two, it looks. Yeah, two. So you got one here and one here.
Wow.
And then here's the next picture in the sequence. As you see, it came back in again, and it still, to me, looks like you can see through this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. My mouse is going goofy and it's ticking me off.
What are you using?
Huh?
My mouse. What are you using?
Just using my mouse.
Are you using your desktop or laptop?
My desktop. Mm-hmm. So, I think my mouse might be running out of juice or something. I don't know. So anyway, again, now you got all five of these back up here in the sky with the blue one again.
Wow. Okay.
So that's that part of it. It is kind of strange, isn't it?
Yeah. The mystery of Bray Road continues.
Yes. So this is some of the stuff that he was showing us that,
yeah, and there was a story where he also told us about a deer carcass being drug and wedged in between two trees, and he showed us the two trees and the picture of it wedged in between those two trees. So something had to have carried it and done that. Because he used to lay out roadkill out there, and then the DNR shut it down. Yeah. But he's still finding, and we did when we were out there, because we walked to this one area, and you could see that there's tons of deer tracks right there running through between the cornfield and his property, and along this little fence line. And on his side of the fence line, though, there is just a mess of deer bones.
Yep.
Wow.
And also, along his fence lines, there's also berry bushes, like wild raspberries.
Okay.
And they're all along there. So that's prime food source for deer.
Yeah.
So with the deer being in the area, that's probably drawing in whatever, you know, that's drawing in the deer. The deer are kind of a food source for whatever the hell that thing is.
Whoever's out there in Gray Road, yeah. Hmm.
So yeah, there's a lot more than just the beast that's out there. It's really strange what we discovered just talking to this man. So
it's a very interesting place, that's for sure.
That's one of the reasons I want to go back.
I just
want to sit there all night.
Well, we got more what we on. We got. You know, from what you could see in the pictures, we got a lot more than we bargained for. We were just expecting to hear stories about the beast.
Yeah.
Not see all these other cool pictures.
Yeah.
You know, from his trail cams.
Well, I mean, hopefully this pandemic ends someday and you guys will be able to set up shop out there.
Oh, yeah. We've got equipment that we've been, like, really dying to play with, too. You know, like, just this year we got new thermal imaging cameras. He went out and got a spotter camera because we got a whole bunch of UFO pictures sent to us from a buddy of ours from Madison area, and he was just going nuts.
I found this spotter scope.
That's what it was.
That has a wireless camera that goes over the view lens. And then it it will actually view in night vision. So you can view in both night vision and regular. So I wound up getting that, and I've been dying to use it.
Cool. So what do you think of places like Devil's Punch Bowl? You ever hear of that one?
I don't think so. Devil's Punch Bowl? Yeah. Where is it?
That's out near Menominee. It's up It's not too far from that legend about Mary Dean and those hellhounds.
Oh right. I know that one.
All right.
And I you know, which is another
Lewis one that I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, hellhounds are always a good story. I've heard stories about Devil's Lake too, but I've not heard of the Devil's Punch Bowl.
Well, that one's like more like supposed to be enchanted than
haunted.
It's like gnomes and fairies are supposed to have been seen there.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if you believe in that stuff either in the paranormal realm, but
that's
the story behind the place.
Right. Cool. Very cool.
Since we brought up the hellhounds, you seem like you have something you want to say about those too.
Oh, I love stories like that because it's so classic. You know, when I was young, my dad liked to listen to blues. He listened to Robert Johnson, who sang the classic song "Hellhounds on My Trail." So I've always liked this sort of mythology, but there were people in Kerryville there that claim that they've actually had encounters with them.
I tried to find that place too, and I couldn't find that boat dock.
Right.
You know, boat dock. I couldn't find it.
Yeah. You're supposed to drive out there and turn off your headlights.
And right. Then, there's like a dare.
You'll hear them growling and approaching your car. So, and that's the only hellhound story I've heard in Wisconsin, I think. I know that they're common in other places around the country, but it's the only one I know of here in Wisconsin.
Well, I don't know what, you know, I'm sure some of it could be tied to some of that Native American lore that's around here too, because Wisconsin's rich in Native American history. We found that out when we first went to Ascalon State Park.
Yes, right. Ascalon.
And we had some really weird stuff happen to us there, although we didn't get up onto the Princess Burial Mound either.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah. And we weren't there late at night either, so.
No.
Yeah.
We were out there during the day. Our first time there, we walked around. We had an EMF meter with us, plus we had the camera and we were filming. And
Tiffany, you need to watch us more often. It's a lot like this every time we're on.
Now, the way Ascalon is out there, there's no electrical
wires.
Your
daughter Tiffany's watching.
Underground or anything like that runs through or overhead.
Jackie's sister.
So we were on one of the mounds, and we were going down the steps.
The one that reminds me of Deb.
All of a sudden, the EMF meter started going off and spiking. And there was really no reason for it. So I was filming it while Joe had it sitting on the step that it was going off on. And then later on after we got done and everything, it was his camera, so he took it home. When he went to download off of it to take the video off, for some reason the card was corrupt.
Everything was corrupt.
And it was a brand new card. It was brand spanking new. First time we had used it. And I don't know. It was kind of weird that you know, we get something like that with the EMF meter, and then all of a sudden we can't show any of it because of the card being corrupt.
Wow.
It was just kind of a weird, I guess a weird experience, you could say.
Yes, I was, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
She's sitting right next to me. Kind of.
Cool, anyway, very interesting.
So, you know, I found out we've only been doing this. We changed our format because we were pissing people off too much beforehand. So we changed our format last year to paranormal because both of us have got that similar interest in this for a long time, you know. And we sit there and I've discovered that, you know, even growing up here in Wisconsin all my life, and I'm 53 years old, I never realized how strange the history is of Wisconsin and how much legends and lore there really is, you know, and how much of it's haunted, you know. Yeah. Like, I grew up playing Ghost in the Graveyard, and they can, in this cemetery in a little area of Madison called the Greenbush neighborhood on Speedway Road, and I had no idea that the cemetery was supposed to be haunted. And that Forest Hill Cemetery on Speedway Road, and they say that people, their cell phones go dead right away as they're walking through or jogging through, because they go from like the golf course, the Glenway golf course, and go down by West High School and go all the way through on a trail, you know, jogging and riding their bike, because it's safer than being anywhere near Speedway Road, because it's got a reputation of being a speedway, you know.
Yeah, there's so much interesting history, too. I was just talking to someone who didn't know that Wisconsin has this really deep history with the circus, too, in the Baraboo area.
Yeah, we did a private home investigation up there that wasn't too far from the original.
Ringling Brothers?
Yeah, it was part of the whole land that was owned by the circus.
Was actually owned by the circus where the house is sitting now.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's so cool, too, that we have this, you know, very important circus history here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it is a very interesting and intriguing history.
It was always fun when you'd sit there and you got to see that circus train as it came through. And it used to come through much more often when I was a kid. And then the Ringling Brothers would be at the Coliseum in Madison. You know, I got to see them a couple of times when they were there during my lifetime.
Very cool.
You know, but yeah, and then you got the Zora Shrine Circus, which was here for a while.
Yeah, yeah. So, lots of circuses.
Yeah, there's a lot of rich history in Wisconsin. And all over the state, there are historical markers.
Yeah.
You know, actually, one of the things I actually want to do as a bucket list is to go and check out all the historical markers and see what every one of them are about and kind of try and research them and film it all. I think that would actually be an interesting trip.
It might be.
And, you know, just to see what kind of history there was here. Because I know that Wisconsin's one of the states that was tied to the Civil War quite a bit. In fact, where I live here in Fort Atkinson, it was actually one of the areas of a fort for the soldiers. So,
yeah, Fort's got a rich history.
Yeah, it does.
You know, so, what's next for T?
Well, you know, both of these books came out this year, Wisconsin Legends and Lore and American Madness. So I've been trying to just talk about those books a lot.
They can be found on Amazon, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, Amazon and wherever books are sold. So I also lead Ghost Walks here in Milwaukee for American Ghost Walks.
Oh, with Mike.
Yeah. Mike
and his sister.
Yes. I lead tours for them all the way through the end of the month. And, you know, this year we've still been doing them. We've just been limiting the number of people quite a bit and requiring that they wear masks. Right.
Yeah. You do what? Which ones in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I do. There's a Third Ward tour and there's one.
You want to check out Ghost Walks, American Ghost Walks.
.com. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Check them out. Yeah. Book a tour with T and see an interesting side of Milwaukee.
Yes, we'll go for a walk around the Third Ward. It's interesting. I love doing the tours. So, So I've been keeping myself busy this fall. I think I'm going to just try to chill out a little bit in the winter time and hopefully look forward to stuff in 2021.
Yeah, you and me both.
Oh, yeah. I am really hoping 2021 is going to be a better place.
Yeah. The other thing I do, I see it scrolling at the bottom of the screen. I write a weekly column for my website. It's called Tee's Weird Week.
Weird Week.
Yeah. I write it every Thursday or Friday, and I just write about whatever random thing I'm interested in that week. But I like doing it just because it keeps something going, you know. So
keeps you occupied, keeps your mind right. going.
Yes, exactly.
Actually, I've noticed here Valerie Little has a question.
Okay.
It says, "Is there child spirit?" And then says, "I heard no, just demons who try to fool you." But actually, I think there are children spirits.
Yeah. Actually, on my third.
Not all spirits are evil either. Most of them are just trying to communicate because they're lonely or just unresolved issues or whatever. You know.
Yeah.
Go ahead, T.
Oh, I was just going to say, on my third ward tour, we talk about the Italian Community Center, which is in downtown Milwaukee.
And yeah, we've been there the Wisconsin Podcast.
Oh, sure.
The Wisconsin Podcast Association. We were there.
It's supposed to be haunted, and it's supposed to be haunted with ghosts of children.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. Interesting.
It's a very interesting place, too, for the history, because that's part of my heritage.
Italian?
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I have a very rich Italian background.
Cool.
So, but till Friday, I guess we're done. And if you want to stay tuned, we'll talk to a little bit more.
Yeah, we can do it behind the scenes. Talk some more if you want, T.
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys. Thanks. And remember, stay safe, stay healthy, mask up.
And wear your masks.
And
definitely wear those masks. They help.
We definitely need to keep everybody healthy.
Yes.
So we can get this virus under control so everybody can go back out and have fun in their lives instead of sitting at home and doing nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
We want to get back to investigating. And don't forget to check us out at utterlyinsaneproductions.com. You'll find all our links there. Please like and subscribe to us on YouTube. Till Friday.